think I'm going to be able to find a pit downtown. All right. So I actually started walking there, and he kind of comes along with me, and I go to the pit. And I don't know if you've been there, but anyway, it's a basement where there's a bar, and the graduate students used to go there. And you get a pitcher of beer for $2 or something like that at the time. And I went there, and it was nice and warm, and you could get yourself a sandwich. And there was a bunch of graduate students there. And, there, you know, the people that were staying with them and that there. And we had a great evening, you know. It was wonderful and that there. So that was my first day and night in Cooperstown.
So you were obviously accepted to the Cooperstown graduate program.
Right.
Talk to me about your time there.
Well, it was a really amazing time for me because, first of all, after that, Gene and I, we got married that summer. We actually got married about 2 weeks before school started. And we went on a honeymoon on a camping trip in Nova Scotia for 10 days. And then we literally drove from Nova Scotia, or from the Bar Harbor, from the ferry, to Cooperstown. And it was, I remember coming in, and it was just really gorgeous, physically gorgeous. It was a bright, sunny day, and driving along Lake Otsego. And to me, it was a real eye-opener. I mean, I really had an opportunity to really look at museums. It was, these two really interesting museums. A very fascinating group of teachers, and really kind of start really looking at collections and objects really in a way that I, you know, kind of touched upon a little bit in Illinois, but really hadn't had done. I thought what was really fascinating. There was a real combination of scholarship with hands-on aspect. I was really kind of amazed by that because I was pretty much of a hands-on person anyway. And I just thought that was a very good way for me to learn. And I really took it to it really well. I think the smallness of the program made it a very intimate thing. I mean, you got to know people really well, whether you wanted to or not. But yeah, I mean, you felt very, very close. I mean, it was more of a familial type of a situation, I thought, than, you know, what I had experienced before, you know, going to university. And I found the people in the town very, very nice. My wife Jean was a brand new RN. She got a job at Bassett, so we rented a little cabin out at Five Mile Point on Lake Otsego. So here we were in this beautiful little cabin, and you know, living on Lake Otsego, and you know, working at these two places. And what was really kind of interesting to me is that there's these really fascinating, kind of deep, interesting museums in this little tiny town. And it was a lot of fun, but it was challenging too. I mean, I felt really challenged, you know, at it, you know, to really kind of learn, you know, museums from an inside out. And also too, what was really great about it was that you really got to travel and see places. I mean, you got, at that time we went to Boston for a week, and you got to see places that you'd heard about: Plymouth Plantation, Sturbridge Village, you know, a number of different places like that. I found it fascinating. We actually went to Roger Child's gallery in the Back Bay in Boston, and really kind of really see a art gallery, you know, really in depth, you know, in that regards. That was all very new to me. I never had ever experienced that before. You know, I visited museums, but they were primarily historic site museums, you know, and that. I really remember Gib Vincent's classes a lot. And, you know, he came from a very formal background. He went to Harvard and, you know, prep school, Harvard, you know, wherever and that. But still at the same time, he was very involved in, you know, for example, his architectural history class. You actually, you know, got in the car and you drove and saw incredible examples of, you know, historic places. And they weren't many of them weren't museums. They were people's private homes or, you know, and that type of a thing. So it was a very intimate study of American culture. I think that that was probably the most dominant thing that I really kind of gained from it. You got to know your classmates very well, and get to learn a lot from them, you know, and they were from, you know, many different places in the country. I thought that was really, really quite good. And then I think also the opportunity to really do an internships in interesting places, you know, and that type of a thing, get your feet wet right away. One thing I kind of was interesting finding about Cooperstown is that kind of once you kind of arrive there and start going to school there, yes, you were in the role as a student, but then I also really felt immediately that I was already a museum professional by being there and being able to have the opportunity to really study with these people and study with these at these places and these collections and that. And for example, dealing with material culture, I mean, I was always interested in furniture and but to really kind of really be able to go in the collections, and I became really fascinated by furniture that was painted surface, and be able to see it in so many different ways and so much depth, you know, in that regards and that. And I felt like I really had I was able to gain like a at least a good first step into a deep understanding of something in that. And at the same time, the other aspect of Cooperstown I think was really interesting is that kind of this is something that the Irish do. They really don't, you know, you really can't become, there's this thing there where you're really in this top place and you're studying with, you know, this really top collection and top with top people, but still at the same time, you can't get too big in your own britches. You know what I mean? I mean, there was this kind of, you know, aspect to it, which the Irish really do is that, you know, you can't get too full of yourself, you know, this is real life, you know, and so I thought not only did you get to learn intellectually, in depth about museums and material culture, but you really got to learn a lot about people and personalities. And I felt that that was really kind of an aspect of it. And also, too, is that you got to meet other people that had been in the program, you know, 20 years before that or 5 years before that, you know, and that. I mean, I remember meeting Gretchen. She was in, I think she was 3 or 4 years ahead of me and that type of a thing. She had done some interesting work down in New York, and then she was doing consulting work and, you know, just being around people that had been through there before you and just seeing how they had already started growing, you know, into the profession, and that was really an opportunity to really see what you could do, you know, in that. And it was a motivating aspect of the program.
Yeah. So what did you do after graduation?
Well, I interviewed from jobs from California. I went out and interviewed at a county historical museum in Bakersfield, California, where the person I'd worked for in Illinois had went to. And Bakersfield was horrible. It was in this big, flat, dry, flat land. And it was so physically different than Cooperstown or even Illinois that, you know, I interviewed for this job and had a chance to get a job as an assistant director at this museum that I said, no, I don't think I want to really be in this place. I interviewed at places around New York State. And then eventually what I did was I took a job as director of interpretation at the Paul Revere House in Boston. And I was there for 2.5 years. And it was a great place to work. It was a young staff, pre-revolutionary Boston. That's the place Revere lived in before the revolution and after or during the revolution. It was a really great, fascinating history. And then still at the same time, since Jean had worked at Bassett, and we, besides getting to know the people in the program through her and her work there, we got to know people in the community. And And at that time, it was 1983 through 86. Museums weren't paying really, really well. And when I was working at the Revere House, I think I was making like $12.5 a year or something like that. And I thought to myself, you know, when I was in Illinois, and here I have this graduate degree from this great program, and I was making $10,000 a year, I started really kind of questioning about what I was really doing. And there was part of me wanted to break out on my own and start my own business. And I'd met a couple people that were involved in the antiques business when I was here going to graduate school. Actually, one of the things about Cooperstown was really kind of interesting is that we really went out and went to auctions and went to sales and went to people's private collections. And a group of us really kind of went around and looked at things in the private market compared to what was in the public market. And the work I'd done when I was with my dad of restoring antiques was kind of something that was there. And actually, the year that I was out of undergrad and I started working at this museum, I kind of did some antique restoration for a number of people in that. And I had met some people that were involved in the antique business here in Cooperstown. And a couple cabinet makers, and Gene and I would come back for to visit people. Since we were only 4 hours away, we would come back about every 3 months and spend a long weekend. And we really liked the area, being here. And we were living in Boston in the suburbs in an apartment complex that was larger than twice the size population of Cooperstown. And you got on the red line every morning at 7:15 to go to work. And living in the suburbs, I never had lived in the suburbs before, and I found it very dull. And, you know, Boston was great. I wish maybe it had been a different story if we'd moved right downtown Boston, you know, and lived in Boston and been part of the city. But living in the suburbs, it was just kind of deadening. And we'd started a family. We had a daughter, our daughter Aiden. And we would come back here and visit. And, we kind of eventually made a decision to move back here. We could buy a nice old house that we could afford it. And I started an antique restoration business called The Furniture Doctor. And at the same time, I didn't really give up my museum career. I started this restoration business, and I've had it for 30 years, and it was very, very successful. And but still, at the same time, I would do some curation of exhibits. I worked with arts councils and exhibition development. I became the director of the Milford Historical Society and did that for many years and developed Sayer House and the Susquehanna Cultural Center for the Historical Association. So I kept my hand in it, you know, in that regards in museum work and that. But I kind of liked being my own boss and, you know, striking out on my own, you know, in that regards. And so that's kind of how that's what I did after I left Cooperstown. And I think it was kind of a combination of things. I think it was a combination of where I was living and really kind of salary, you know, kind of really kind of pushed me into thinking, well, maybe I could do something on my own. And I always kind of figured, well, if the restoration work didn't really pan out, I could always get another low-paying museum job somewhere. Now, at the time, and maybe the profession's changed, I don't know what the status level of salaries are and that, but at the time, everyone wanted to be in the Northeast in history museums. And so pay was actually really down. If you could get a job in Alabama for twice the wage, but I didn't want to live in Alabama. And I'd been in Alabama before, so I definitely knew I didn't want to move there and that there. So that's kind of how my course of my career went, you know, in that regards. Yeah.
Did you feel that you learned some things at the Cooperstown graduate program that made you decide to go into restoration? Like, where did that interest come from for you?
Well, I kind of had dabbled in it before I came to Cooperstown. But when I came to Cooperstown, I really seriously started studying, you know, furniture. Mm-hmm. And became very, very interested in it. And was really curious about it. And I wasn't really interested in starting a business where you kind of, you know, just mass produce refinished pieces and that. I was really kind of more interested, even though you did do that to some pieces, I was really kind of interested in conservation. At the time in Cooperstown, too, the conservation wing of the program was there. And I got to know many of those people there and hung out where the graduate program is now, is where the conservation strand was at. And I was pretty fascinated by the work that they did do in that. And maybe if I had approached it again, I might have really gone into conservation more so than administration or interpretation and that there. But then I really love that aspect of being able to take material culture and interpret it. And I really kind of did that a lot here on the local level at the Milford Historical Association, you know, in that regards and that. Because it was a local historical association that didn't have any professionalism behind it at all. And I was asked to come over and help them with a problem they had with their historic house museum, that they had mold starting to grow on artifacts. And so that really kind of prompted me to go over there and use what I had learned in Cooperstown to help them solve that problem. And they were a nice group of local people and invited me to, you know, come on the board. And I said, okay, sure, that'd be fine. You know, I'd love to do that. But really, basically, that was a conservation problem that kind of drew me into that organization and that there. And then the Sayre House is such a really pure historic house and has a great family history. And it was in the, you know, the early 19th century, which is a period of, you know, the antebellum period history of American, you know, history I really love to study and have studied deeply in that. You know, that historic house worked there. And what was really fascinating by the place that I was really drawn to, too, it was a house and a store. So it was a public-private kind of place. And they had really great primary sources, too. They had account books. They had yearly inventories, a lot of original materials that you could really do really a really good interpretation of that place, or develop a really good interpretation of that place. You know, and eventually, you know, as I was running that place, I would, you know, have interns from CGP come and work, you know, and that there. So it was really kind of a fun thing to be able to take the place and be a learning lab, you know, for the graduate students, as well as for local people that lived here in the community in that regards and that. So, but working on individual pieces of furniture I found to be kind of fascinating, both intellectually to know how that piece came to be, and then also physically, you know, how to really deal with the conservation problems with, you know, what has gone on with that piece. I mean, I say many times, I probably have saved more pieces of furniture than a lot of curators have, you know. There would be really, I remember dozens of times people would ask me to destroy original finished pieces, and I would not do that. Even though I could make money doing that, I would not do that. And you really would, you know, use it as an opportunity to really educate people about what they actually had, you know, in that regards and that. So I guess I followed a very different path. I mean, I didn't work in the profession full time, but still at the same time I worked on the side of it, and and worked along with it, you know, in that regards and that there.
Yeah. Were a lot of your customers, when you were working as the furniture doctor, were they local? Did you draw people from, you know, sort of all different places?
Well, you know, you drew people from about 4 or 5 county area, and then me really kind of became known, you know, on certain things that you could really do. there were some things I really didn't know anything about really at all, and really kind of taught myself and really kind of studied, like faux finishes, grainy, marbling, you know, and, you know, different aspects of the painted surfaces and that. I never really got involved in the antique trade. I mean, I wasn't really doing things for antique dealers or, you know, things like that. You know, there were primarily local people. Yes, I would say primary people from Otsego or Shenango or Delaware County, Schoharie County, in that regards. And that, yes. And then there are also too is that you really come upon really wonderful pieces. For example, Lou and Aggie Jones, they were going to move out of their home in Cooperstown, and they. They were going to move into an assisted living place, they asked me to come over to their house. They had this incredible bedroom furniture that was from Jamaica from the 1790s, and someone had painted the room of their house and spattered paint all over it. I think they, you know, had rolled paint in the room and had adequate covered the furniture. So you had, you know, this gorgeous 1790s furniture with speckles of paint all over it, you know, and that type of a thing, you know, and that. So you got to work on a wide variety of things. It was almost like an encyclopedic museum. I mean, also another aspect too is I really specialized in arts and craft furniture or mission furniture, as a lot of people talk about, which was something that was a passion of mine that I collected as well. So yes, there were certain specialties, but it was primarily local people helping local people out with their things. I wasn't a prima donna. If somebody wanted to bring me their oak teaback chairs that, you know, there's millions of them made, you know, and people wanted to pay me to glue them back together, I'd glue them back together for them, you know, in that regards. And actually, that's what kind of led to the bookstore, is eventually, as in the 1980s, there and in the 1990s, there was a really amazing furniture that was still here. And as the antique business changed, and as the number of interesting pieces historically moved out of the area or were not around here anymore for people to purchase or collect in that, my business became more and more intellectually not as interesting. And that's how I kind of came into the bookstore. This bookstore was started in Oneonta. It was an independent bookstore. It started in 2008. And I thought that was wonderful. You know, we hadn't had a bookstore around. There was a little chain bookstore out at the, as my kids used to call the little mall there in Oneonta, the small, Walden Books, and became a Borders Express eventually. It was really a horrible bookstore. It was nearly, but anyway, this woman started this independent bookstore out of the blue. It just kind of grew up like a mushroom in downtown Oneonta. And it was a nice place, and I was a big customer. And as the pieces came, as the interesting pieces became less and less interesting in that, I had customers in Cooperstown that have a great collection of painted furniture, stuff from the 18th century all through the 19th century. And one day they brought me this little 3-drawer chest. And the next day I went to go look at it, and it was made of particle board and a photo finish. And I was really kind of thought, what the heck, these people are, I've really got great furniture, got great eye, and they're bringing me something that's, you know, looked like you could buy it at IKEA. You know what I mean? And I was really kind of disgusted. And I went to the bookstore, And I was talking to the owner, and she was asking me, you know, about, you know, something about business. And I said, I don't know what's going on. My business is just becoming really, I mean, I told her about the story about this piece that had come in. And I says, there's just really not that many interesting pieces out there that, you know, intrigue you and want you to work on it. And I kind of ended the conversation with, you know, I think there was part of me that always wanted to have a store, have a business like that. And, you know, maybe a couple times I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll have an antique store, you know, and that. But I really didn't, you know, not just antiques. Maybe it'd be a mixture of things. And I kind of ended the conversation with her, well, you know, Michelle, I wish I was doing what you're doing, but you beat me to it. And because I felt like the bookstore was really kind of quite fascinating, but then still at that time also too, to me, it didn't have a lot of depth in many areas. Like, for example, their history section was woeful. And many times I'd have to special order things. Like the book that you bought the other day, The Nature of God. You know, you wouldn't have found that book in the store at that time. And I was very involved in books. I mean, I read about books, you know, I see what's being published, and you know, I have a personal library of a couple thousand volumes, you know, and so I said this to Michelle, and then about 2 weeks later, she calls me up and says she wants to get together with me for lunch, and she says, you know, I've got some changes in my life, and I want to move on from the bookstore. And, you know, you've been a customer, and I really think this is important for the community. And I think you could really do some really great things here. And I want to know if you'd be interested in buying it from me. And she didn't advertise it, you know, that the bookstore is for sale. She really kind of, in a way, kind of almost kind of, you know, personally kind of selected me to see if I would be interested in buying it. So I spent probably, she wasn't in a rush, I spent probably about 6 months researching independent bookstores, and I really saw there was an opportunity there, and I decided to buy the store and take that leap off the cliff again, that kind of feeling of free fall of being in a brand new enterprise, starting a new collection. And I really kind of see the store as a collection. It's a collection of things that are being published, which I think's good and important. I want to turn people onto, and I see the bookstore as very much similar as an exhibition. And you put a number of things together, and you arrange them, and you light them, and you create atmosphere, and you design how your store is going to look. And you're trying to help people interpret all these different ideas, people, subject matter, all these things out there. You don't really use exhibition labels as much as you would in a real exhibition. But still, at the same time, I really see there's really many similarities to it. So I think really kind of the real core of a lot of museum work is how you can really take that three-dimensionality of taking objects, putting them into a place, and really trying to turn people on to really trying to understand something that they really, you know, might be curious about or really don't know anything about and become curious then about it, you know, in that regards. And that, to me, is where the rubber hits the road in museums, is that you really can really kind of create this kind of idea of culturally educating people on whether or not it's kumquat pickers or, you know, or it's, you know, the current political situation in the country or social history issue or, you know, issue that deals with, you know, a problem that we have in our country like race or class or those different types of things. I think it's really an opportunity to do that. And I don't, you can do that in film or you could do that in writing yourself. But I think you have more capability and more broad appeal to be able to do it through museums, you know, in that regards. And so I really kind of see the bookstore as really another extension of that, you know, in that regards and that. So
yeah, So as a business owner, how are you involved in the revitalization that's going on with Main Street Oneonta?
Well, I think, first of all, I think I'm very involved in it. I think, actually, I've created an atmosphere, I created an enterprise upon the foundations of what this previous owner has done. And I've created a place